Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
In this series, we're going to learn basic Spanish phrases.
Say it with me. Si se puede. The future is ours.
This was the moment that America won the future.
It's a little early for a victory lap.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I have serious concerns that it's not enough to realize the very inspiring vision, we need to go way higher. You know, if we could wave a magic wand, we're talking about realistically $10 trillion over 10 years.
What the heck?
You know what your problem is? You think money grows on trees.
This is a bold neo-socialist experiment. And by spending this massive amount of taxpayer money, it's clear the Biden administration is moving more toward the Chinese model of capitalism.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. The mailroom manager went to Mar-a-Lago last night. The Mar-a-Lago is reopened. They had a
Mar-a-Lago!
They had a COVID outbreak last week. It was closed. The club was closed for a while, but it was open again now. And she was there, and the president came by the table and was talking. It was Charlotte was down here, my daughter, and another. It was a girls' night out, and one of her friends and her daughter's, or the friend's daughter, was there. So President Trump came by and talked with them. And the mailroom manager said, "Howie loves those emails," and President Trump said, "You know, I'm getting to like those things better than Twitter, because there's no character, you know, restrictions. You don't have to worry. You don't have to sum it up. You can just let it rip." And she said, "There're going to be more of those." And if I'd have been there, I would have said, "Mr. President, you know the thing I like most about those emails, they come out around 6:15, 6:30, just in time for the last segment of the show." Just when I can get really revved up and, bat it out of the park. And I love the way he goes and throws stuff in. You could tell he's dictating it, you know, like when he talked about Fauci. He thought he was a great player. He said he was a great college baseball player. But then when he got a chance to throw out the first pitch, it was a roller. It was just, you could just see him saying, you could hear him saying that. 844-500-4242. We're going to have the author of a new book about Fauci tomorrow on the show, which is going to be good. I didn't even know about the book, but Taylor set it up. But it's called A Faucian Bargain, like Faustian Bargain. And, Fauci has got to be one of the slimiest bureaucratic backstabbers around anywhere. He's the oldest rat in the barn as an old Secretary of State used to say in North Carolina, because he's 80. But he's learned all the backstab and corkscrew and double dealing tricks that there are. And Trump mentioned that in his email about Fauci, about how he didn't want to even be in the same room with Dr. Birx. Can't really blame him for that, but I'm sure, don't you think Dr. Birx probably felt the same way? So now you have Rochelle Walensky. We talked about her. She's the impending doom head of the CDC. She's from Boston. She worked at Mass General. She lives in Chestnut Hill near the Undersecretary of Climate Change, who wanted to break the will and turn the screws on people who drive and heat their homes with, fuel oil in Massachusetts. So now I guess technically she's his boss. So let's play her cut four.
When I said I had a feeling of impending doom, it is sort of this feeling that I've had surge after surge, serving on the front lines at Massachusetts General Hospital, and recognizing that right now it's preventable. We know that it's preventable. We have the science to prevent. We know what we need to do to stop the surge, and we would ask everybody to go ahead and do that.
So, Fauci, of course, as he does with everybody, everybody, he has to second guess her. Cut five.
Well, you know, I don't know if I would use the word impending doom. If you talk to Dr. Olensky, which we do every single day, the point she's making is a very valid point. We're seeing the cases that have plateaued over the last couple of weeks, and now they're starting to inch up.
I would not like to be next to Dr. Fauci in a foxhole, would you? He's not a stand-up guy, I don't think. Just ask Dr. Birx, and now you can just ask Dr. Walensky, or you can ask Donald J. Trump, for that matter. And I think for, you know, Walensky's obviously a moonbat liberal, given her political donations. Birx is a two-faced hypocrite, too. But I think they would all agree on Dr. Fauci. 844-500-4242. And of course, you know, it's the religious aspect of this that's so irritating. And you know, it's backsliding. We can't be backsliding. And Dr. Fauci here is you know, on the eve of the highest holy day of the Christian faith, I guess. I think Good Friday is bigger than Easter Sunday. Maybe Easter Sunday, I don't know. But anyway, it's the biggest weekend of the year. He's talking about backsliding, basically. Cut six.
Now is just not the time to pull back and declare premature victory. It's just not the time. Hang in there a bit longer. We're going to get through this. As more people get vaccinated, there's going to be a greater umbrella of protection over society. That's why we're saying over and over again, just hang on, continue to do the public health measures, and then we could pull back later.
Hang on. Hang on. Isn't this the world's worst religion? You know, every other religion promises you paradise, or at least they're not into a big afterlife, they promise you inner peace if you absorb the teachings of the faith. The only thing the cult of the mask, the cult of COVID, has to offer is fear itself. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The only thing COVID cult has to offer is fear itself. 844-500-4242.
Don't be afraid of the vaccine. Be afraid of COVID.
Don't be afraid of going to church, brother. Be afraid of the devil. Take the word devil or sin and put it in place of COVID, and you will see that this is a religion. That's what it's become. And Charlie Parker, like all true believers, it becomes angry if you're not going to accept his faith, his cult. 844-500-4242. Fool, what a fool he is. And so sometimes the faithful make a mistake, and but don't let it destroy your faith in the ultimate goal of purgatory and endless fear. Cut two.
You know, I would hope, the message I take from this is actually the opposite, which is people screwed up, people recognized, people ditched it, right? I mean, the message to me is whatever the control process was that was in place there, it worked.
I like he's an expert. You know, he has the fourth highest death rate in the United States, the fifth highest rate of job loss in the United States, one of the top three nursing home death rates in the United States. And he's a big expert, and he's lecturing everybody else. You know, at least 46 or 47 governors have better records overall than Charlie Parker. But he's the smartest guy in the room. Just ask him. He's definitely the worst Republican governor. There's no other Republican governor has anything close to the calamitous, catastrophic fiasco that he's in charge of here in Massachusetts. Ugh, God.
Is April 5th like Monday?
Is he serious here? Is this his April Fool's? Do we amuse you, Charlie? Do we amuse you? 844-500-4242. You know, when the Red Sox postponed their opener today, went, yes! Yes! He probably called up Greg Abbott in Texas and said, I can't believe you're letting the Rangers play the full capacity. Oh. By the way, the Marlins and the Devil Rays are going at they have about 9,500 for their opening games.
Please tell me they were wearing face coverings.
Just shut up. Just shut up. Go to your intimate Easter gathering and just don't bother the rest of us for forever. How about that? Forever. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show will be back in a bit. The paperboy is going to make a few edits on his latest Herald column.
You want to break into my kind of racket? This is the lousiest game there is. You can risk your hide to get a good shot, and the city desk may stick it on page 10, if it's used at all.
He's not here to make nice.
Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
The Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Balance 7. I was able to do 3 bike rides last Sunday thanks to Balance 7. Give me a lot more energy. Save $10 today and receive a free bottle of their Skin Smooth Spray. Skin Smooth Spray with code word Howie. Free. You get that free at balance7.com. Howie free. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today is opening day for Major League Baseball. Do you follow baseball more than you used to, less, or not at all?
Not at all.
Should be another option for never have, never will. 59% say not at all. 37% say less. Only 4% say more.
You never followed it, Taylor?
Never. I only showed up to Fenway when there were free tickets involved. And that's those are the only times I ever watched a full baseball game.
I started going in the 60s, way back. I saw Hoyt Wilhelm pitch for the Chicago White Sox. They locked him in. I was sitting in the bleachers and pitching for the White Sox, and he went into the bathroom, and they took a bat and locked him in the bathroom. It was a pitcher for the relief pitcher for the – he was like 45 at the time. It was funny. I loved going to games back in those days.
My great-grandfather, who was a huge Red Sox fan, he took my dad and my uncle to a game in like 69 or 70, and he had a nice mint 1968 Cadillac. And the thing was perfect. And they went to the game, came back out, and found it up on blocks. Never went back.
Yeah. I remember going to a game in the 70s once, and I was walking there from – you know, from the Back Bay area. And I saw this beautiful car was just being parked on Commonwealth Avenue. It was just in mint condition. Just a little sports car or something from the suburbs. And then I came out like 2.5-3 hours later, and the guy that had been parking it was out in front of it crying because someone had taken a brick and just smashed through the window and keyed the crap out. Just to destroy something of beauty. Ah, those great memories of Red Sox baseball. 844-500-4242. Zach, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, it's Nick, but that's okay.
Sorry.
Howie, no problem. Just 2 quick things. Sue Collins, your governor is sounding more like Sue Collins than we believe that she's already... I'm telling you, she's done here in Maine. She's done. Nobody's
yeah, but she's got. But Zach, she is Nick. She's got 5 years. She just got reelected. I mean, she's done. She'll be in her 70s when her term is up.
I think that was her plan all along. Unfortunately, but you know, what are we going to do? We're stuck with it, just like we're stuck with Mills. But I guess we're just going to have to bite the bullet on that one. And the other thing I wanted to say real quick is everybody refers to the swamp.
Yes.
And if you actually look up the swamp in the definition, it's actually an ego-type thing that produces good things. I think we ought to change that to the sewer, because we all know what's in the sewer.
How about cesspool, Zach? That's kind of a combination of a sewer and a swamp.
That's where you dump.
You dump certain excrement, shall we say. I think cesspool would be even better than sewer. Thanks for the call, Zach. 844-500-4242. Is Janet Mills going to run for re- How old would Janet Mills be if she won a second term in 2022 when she finished it? She'd be in her 80s, I believe, wouldn't she? Probably pretty far into her 80s. She's not that much younger than Pelosi and Fauci. Matt, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Howie. I'm confused, and I need a little help about the term surge, if you could help me. Yesterday, I got lectured by a certain congresswoman that I couldn't use that term, and now apparently I can.
Well, yeah, I mean, what about Biden? Biden himself, when he was running for president in 2019, said we need to surge the border. And then she said you can't use surge because it's a militarist.
I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border.
Surge to the border, but you can't say that now. But you're right. I mean, now Fauci is talking about it, or Walensky, or both of them are talking about it. I don't know. It's tough to keep up with this new woke culture that we live in, isn't it, Matt? You never know what's going to be permissible in terms of language from one, not day, but from 1 hour or 1 minute to the next. Anything can be out the window.
We're in so much trouble.
yesterday, I think, was Cesar Chavez's birthday. And Cesar Chavez, I think it's a state holiday in California. He was the head of the United Farm Workers, and he tried to unionize these guys that were picking grapes. He despised illegal aliens, and he used to refer to them with the W word. And this is the great hero of the left. And this was into like 1979, maybe later. He was calling illegal aliens the W word. I don't even know if I can say that. I don't even know. We have sound cuts of him using the W word, talking about how you got to stop him from coming across the border and all this. And nobody says anything. They just pretend it didn't happen. And, you know, I mentioned earlier in the day about how, when these people become canceled, that used to have statues and holidays, their holiday never goes away. I'm sure that, whatever Cesar Chavez said about illegal aliens coming across the border from Mexico, the public sector unions in California will never, ever, under any circumstances, give up their holiday for Cesar Chavez's birthday. Because he was a leader in, I don't know, he was a leader in something. Maybe he'll be erased, but the holiday will live on. 844-500-4242. When we come back, I'm going to read you a column from Victor Davis Hanson, The 10 Radical New Rules That Are Changing America, and we'll take more of your calls. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We still have some gift certificates left to Fun Spot in Laconia, New Hampshire, the largest arcade in the world. Fun Spot offers over 600 games, including 300 classic arcade games, a 20-lane, 10-pin, and candlepin bowling center. You don't see many of those around. There's one in Tewksbury, I think. Cash bingo, indoor mini golf, a restaurant, a tavern, and more. It's a great place to go. April break is coming up. If you've got your kids or your grandkids, summer's on its way. You're probably not going too far from home, so this is a good thing. $50 gift certificates to Fun Spot in Laconia, New Hampshire. You get them for just $25. And we got some left. We had a lot to begin with, but most of them are gone, but we got a few left. 844-500-4242. I'm just going to read a couple of these 10 radical new rules that are changing America, and from Victor Davis Hanson. This is about, he does a lot of great columns, but this is the best one he's done for a while. And then we'll take some calls. Money is a construct. That means it can be anything you want. It can be created from thin air. Annual deficits and aggregate national debt no longer manage much. They certainly don't think it does anyway. Our elites believe the cascading obligations are irrelevant, or the larger the debt, the more likely we will be forced to address needed income redistribution, meaning they take it from people who work and give it to people who don't work. That's income redistribution. Number two, laws are not necessarily binding anymore. Joe Biden took an oath to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, but he has willfully rendered federal immigration laws null and void. Some rioters are prosecuted for violating federal laws, others not so much. Arrests, prosecution, and trials are all fluid. Ideology governs when a law is still considered a law. That's a really serious problem, isn't it? Because if you don't have a nation of laws, you have a nation of men. You know, that used to be just something you'd hear about in a civics class or, you know, in a early college years poli-sci class. But it's really true. Crime rates do not necessarily matter. If someone is carjacked, assaulted, or shot, it can be understood to be as much the victim's fault as the perpetrator's. Either the victim was too lax, uncaring, or insensitive, or he provoked his attacker. How useful the crime is to the larger agendas of the left determines whether a victim is really a victim and the victimizer is really a victimizer. Racialism is now acceptable. That's number three. We are defined first of all by our ethnicity or religion, and only secondarily, if at all, by an American commonality. The explicit exclusion of whites from college dorms, safe spaces, and federal aid programs is now non-controversial. That's in the new jobs plan. It is the unspoken payback for perceived past sins, or a type of good racism. Jamie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hey, Howie.
You there, Jamie?
I think I got the answer like a forefather.
Joe, go ahead. You there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
I got the answer like a forefather's had. All corruption starts from when lawyers become politicians.
There are plenty of politicians who aren't lawyers who are crooks. And there are plenty of lawyers who aren't crooks. I don't think that's the biggest problem. I think the problem is professional politicians, people who can't make a living outside, whether they were trained as lawyers or insurance people or electricians or anything. But they just get into politics, and suddenly they were middle class going into politics, and then suddenly they're millionaires. Thanks for the call, Jamie. Joanna, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joanna.
Oh, hi. I just had a funny thing I wanted to share with you. I'm a huge Trump supporter, so I can't even talk about what happened, and I can't even name the guy that's in the White House right now. But, you know, it's been tricky these days, kind of sketchy, because I have my TV always on mute, or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hear this person's voice, the people that are in the White House. Are you
right.
Following me?
No, I do. Okay. Joanna, I've solved the problem. I don't even turn on my TV because if you have the TV on and it's muted, you're going to look over and you're still going to be angry if you see a certain face. You know, it's better to just keep the TV off.
Okay, but anyway, so when that person was going up the stairs last week and fell three times, I thought I was seeing a sketch, okay? So anyway, so I found out that was really true. But yesterday, did you see him going up the stairs again? He's carrying an umbrella.
Right.
He's holding a satchel, like a carpetbagger satchel. and he's got on like the
a top coat,
beige ring that my dad would wear, you know?
Right.
When have you ever seen the president carrying his own umbrella and a satchel, and he tripped again?
I was wondering about that. You know, one of the most embarrassing pictures that was ever taken of the former mayor of Boston, Ray Flynn, was when he had to, he was appointed to the job of Vatican ambassador by Bill Clinton. And then he had to hold an umbrella over Bill Clinton when they appeared together, and it was, and the rain started coming down. And it, of course, everybody made a joke. You know, he went from being the mayor of Boston to being the umbrella holder. I don't know when the last time I ever saw a president holding an umbrella was. I guess Neville Chamberlain, the prime minister of Great Britain, who appeased Adolf Hitler before World War II, he carried an umbrella, I believe. But it seems like one of those things that a politician wouldn't want to be seen carrying an umbrella, doesn't it? The Kennedys always used to say, never get caught wearing a hat. And I think that's true, too. But an umbrella? I don't know, Joanne. I didn't understand that either. What did he get to the eighth step? We were laughing yesterday and saying he tripped on the 12th step, like Hunter Biden in a 12-step program. But I think it was actually the eighth step, wasn't it, Taylor?
I'm not sure. It was up there. It was about, halfway to two-thirds of the way up.
Yeah. And he tripped again. 844. Maybe he should take one of the dogs with him, because then he can always blame it on the dog if he falls down. Thanks for the call, Joanna. And again, my advice is keep that TV off. Just if you want to watch something, make it Netflix or something. There's not much to see anymore. 844-500-4242. Unless your blood pressure is low and the doctor tells you should be watching more of you know who. Baxter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Baxter.
Hey, good afternoon, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Howie, yesterday when President Biden flew to do the speech on the infrastructure, where did he fly to?
Somewhere in Pittsburgh. I don't know which particular airport. Somewhere in Pittsburgh, right. Though.
Okay, So he flew from Washington to Pittsburgh. So I watched the speech, and you saw it. Did you see during the speech that he literally started to like drift? I thought he was going to fall down and just collapse. He drifted kind of to the left and lost his mind for a second, and then he did it again. It was like two times during that speech he really got confused. He literally almost looked like he was going to just fall down. I don't know if he was following the teleprompter or what.
But Baxter, that happens to him every time he spends more than 5 or 10 minutes in front of a microphone, doesn't it? Listen to the thing. We played it a few times last night, but it's one of the funniest things. I guess it's funny, but on the other hand, it's kind of scary and sad that this is the president of the United States. But he's talking about rebuilding roads. Listen to this cut from yesterday.
Imagine what we can do, what's within our reach when we modernize those highways. You and your family could travel coast to coast without a single tank of gas on board a high-speed train.
Howie.
Yes. Yes.
So this morning, Howie, this morning I went to watch it again. CNBC posted it on YouTube. I've never seen this before. You know when you watch a YouTube video on the bottom, it shows the length of time, and you see the little yellow dots?
Right.
Yellow spaces. It's usually like an ad, right?
Yeah.
Well, CNBC had the two times where President Biden lost his bearings, they literally deleted them. And if you watch the video that CNBC put up, it just goes to a black screen. There's no ad or anything like that. The moments that where he literally lost his marbles there. It just goes to a black screen, and I can't. I said, you got to be kidding me. They're actually going to edit those things out and put it on YouTube and expect you to say it didn't happen. It just didn't even happen. I mean, imagine if Trump had a like that.
Here's another thing that you never saw with Trump. They on the some of the transcripts now at the bottom, you know what it says? edited for clarity. That means they cut out all of the nonsensical things that he said, like we just played on the air. Can you imagine if they had ever edited Donald Trump for clarity? They would never do that. They would edit him for unclarity, for incoherence.
I don't know, to be clear.
Yeah, you don't know, to be clear. Kathy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm reminded every time I hear of somebody, like you say, moving the goalposts, and they give us different hoops to jump through and changing the rules. An old episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show, they had a person that called up Dick and told him that his phone was broken, and they had him, at first it sounded believable, but they had him go through different steps, and each step was more and more bizarre. And the very end result, they said, now take all the parts of your phone that you just took apart, put them in a paper bag, go out on your front lawn, run around, wave the bag around your head, and cluck like a chicken. So I'm just wondering when we're going to get to that point where they're going to tell us to do something like that.
Well, you know, when this whole thing started, and we found the cut from the bananas. Everybody plays it now, but I think we were one of the first shows that had it. And when the guy takes over as the president of San Marcos, that's the old Woody Allen movie, and he announces that the power goes totally to his head, and he announces that everybody has to.
All citizens will be required to change their underwear every half hour. Underwear will be worn on the outside so we can check.
Kathy, we're not that far from that point now, are we?
I don't think we are. It's really kind of scary. I'm rereading right now 1984, but this time I'm taking notes.
Yeah, I know. The whole thing about 1984, there's so much, you know, when you read it when you're in school, you just kind of, you know, cursorily give it a glance and you say, oh, yeah, I guess it's a classic and all that stuff. Now you come across parts of it that just jump out at you, like about it's the young women that are really into ratting everybody out. And you think, oh, my goodness, these are the people that I see on the street with the masks. These are the people I see at the stoplights by themselves in the car with the windows down wearing a mask. You know, these are the people who are after you if you defy the orthodoxy of the state. She's right. Kathy's absolutely right. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you are missing out on a really great product. It's a great source of energy. It gives you heart health. It's good for your heart health, your blood pressure, and your circulation. It's very easy. It's wrapped in foil like this. You can take it with you when you leave for work or wherever in the morning. Just stick it in your pocket, and you can use it twice a day, just whenever you get into the habit of doing it. I take one in the morning before I go down my bike ride, and then I take one right now as soon as I finish doing this spot. Gives me a burst of energy to get me through the show, get me through my bike ride. And again, it's good for me, and it tastes good. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two of these delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Taylor loves them. Grace loves them. We all love them. They're good. If you become a VIP in the spring, we'll give you some when you come in, and you can test them out for yourself. But you'd be well advised to get yourself a bag just right now. It's a good deal. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. When you buy two bags like these, and there's a lot in there, they'll throw in the third one for free. It'll keep you going for a long time with your Super Beats Heart Chews. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Fighting the fake news, one former Democrat stenographer with a press pass at a time. It's Howie Carr.
badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Howie Carr is back.
Winston Smith was the hero, or anti-hero, whatever you want to call him, of 1984, George Orwell's famous, was a novel, now it's a how-to manual, as the texter just said. And here's his description of his relationship with the women in the party. He disliked nearly all women, and especially the young and pretty ones, who were the most bigoted adherents of the party, comma, the swallowers of slogans, comma, the amateur spies and the nosers out of unorthodoxy. The noser outers of unorthodoxy. What a great line. You know, Animal Farm is another great one, too. It's been kind of neglected as people concentrate on 1984, but there's some good stuff in Animal Farm, too. And, you know, when they talk about people being disgusted with Biden, you know, the Democrats always say, well, do you want Trump back? And like Animal Farm was owned by Farmer Jones, right? And then the animals overthrew him and the pigs took over. And the pigs actually turned out to be more oppressive than Farmer Jones. But whenever the other animals are bitching and moaning, the pigs say, well, do you want Farmer Jones back? Again, it's life is imitating fiction here. Fiction that was written more than 70 years ago. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Howie, how are you?
Good.
Listen, the reason I was calling was because last Friday I saw a news report out here in Hawaii, and it was regarding the Asian hate crimes. And
yes.
Basically they said we don't have that much of a problem here because obviously white people or non-Asian people are the minority in Hawaii, vastly. And then in the next sentence they said, but the Asians need to keep their minority status. So I'll take their minority status over my white privilege any day, Howie. When is the racism going to stop against me and the sexism going to stop against me as a white male in this country?
You know, Paul, Victor Davis Hanson would say that makes you a racist for even saying you don't have white privilege, because that means you're a white male who can't understand the privilege. I must say sometimes I am afflicted with those same doubts about my white privilege. Paul, did you see, by the way, there was the guy that attacked the Asian woman in Hell's Kitchen in New York? He is not a white supremacist, I don't think. And three Hasidic Jews were attacked last night on the Lower East Side. The guy slashed them. A husband and a wife and a little kid were slashed. And I don't think the person who slashed them was a white supremacist either. Thanks for the call, Paul. And you know, look at where most of the attacks on Asian Americans are coming, and they're horrific attacks. But most of them are coming in New York, Oakland, San Francisco. Are there a lot of Trump supporters, a lot of MAGA white supremacists in Oakland, San Francisco, and New York? I don't think so. But unless it's a white supremacist, you're not going to read too much about those hate crimes. I'm Howie Carr.